going to happen. It's a matter of when.
So that's really what this whole weekend is about. It's really just making sure that we're able to sustain this for the long haul. And the context of this morning called discipleship is really just to do with community groups. And in this context of the branch community, it's in the context of community groups. So with that, I didn't even ask any of the community group leaders, but there's three groups running now, and there's two starting this week. So I just want to give an opportunity, if a couple of you guys, if you could just share, I'd like to hear two wins from community groups. Like, why do we do what we do, right? Because that, to me, is discipleship is happening in these community groups. We don't have to do life with people. So I just love to hear just a real short snippet. It can be 10 seconds, it can be a minute. But for the current community group leaders, if you do, do you guys have just two wins that stand out to you since you guys have been running?
I think for our group, well, it's definitely just the presence of God has been showing up consistently.
Yeah.
Just this last time was just so powerful, and just the Holy Spirit just showed up in such a very real way, and there was like literally he just, I don't know, authentic, real, there was repentance, and then there was just like the Holy Spirit just being poured out. It was so good.
Wow.
Yeah, same for our group. It's been like, it's been amazing just like every time like this Holy Spirit shows up and like brings forward whatever like people need to hear, and it's been so good. And it's been really good for our group. Like some of, like most of us just came back from a trip to Uganda, and then having a community to plug in to when we got back was super good. And even, you know, now a lot of them are involved in ministry night, and it's just really good because I feel like for me sometimes it's like I'm so used to having a community now that it's hard to imagine like what it's like to not have a community.
Yeah.
And just just like keeping that in mind and like making a space for people to have community.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, if we're sitting in this room, we have an embarrassment of riches, honestly. Like when it comes to the community aspect, it's easy when you're in this room to forget that right now there's people out there desperate to be known by somebody. They're in a crowd of people and they are alone. You know? What about challenges? And if it's a person, don't share their name obviously in this setting, but I'd like to hear like just one or two challenges, because here's the reality of discipleship. You're not going to have all wins. And if that's what our expectation is of discipleship, we're going to fry in the frying pan of leadership in the first 6 months. Any challenges? Don't have to have any. Don't have to fabricate any. But if you have one, I'd be happy to hear it. Just in the context of realness again. No challenges? Sweet.
Not true.
Not true? Are we not being real, or are there actually no challenges?
I mean, one of the challenges I've faced is just distractions. Mm. Like, while we're having a community group, just like bunny trails and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing major.
Yeah.
We had that a lot too. But we talked about it, we were like, well, it's kind of a way of us getting to know each other and like just building a foundation.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was pretty much done.
It can definitely be a challenge with facilitating, like learning how to facilitate, because it's something for me, that's like facilitating room is new.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is a skill. Like I'm realizing like because I do it sometimes now, I'm like watching people do it, and it's actually, it really is, and it's something that you do so well that it actually looks effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just learning how to like really press in and ask the Lord, like, where are we supposed to be going next? Because I don't want to be cutting something short that needs to be happening.
Yeah.
It's not in the script, but you also need to have a, like, for it to be healthy, you have to have, this is where we're going, a direction. And so you can veer off of that, but you have to know, like, is this, you know, a distraction or is this right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really like, and even with learning how to lead with others. other people.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes practice because mm-hmm. it's a skill. But no, definitely, I think it's a challenge for me, just learning mm-hmm. how to like, yeah, steer time.
And that's like a prime example. And like, if we're not connecting to the Father outside of a setting of people, if we're not in tune with Him, like when the spotlight is on and you're leading a group of 10 people in your living room, even in your living room, you're trying to discern in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't imagine to be automatically connected to Him in that moment of spotlight, right? So like it reveals like, okay, no, the investment goes in actually before the group, yes. and that alignment with the Father and that connection with the Father. And then when you are in your setting, then that's already, you're ready to have the relationship with the Father, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think even like Dave said, like getting to know your group, you know, it's not always bad, mm-hmm. the money trails and stuff, but you just have to discern like when to bring it back into,
mm-hmm.
back into the flow. And like, because there is that aspect of getting to know each other, mm-hmm. like being vulnerable and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But then there's also, mm-hmm. it can go too far pretty quick.
Leadership 101, right? Like, when do you guide and when do you just stand back and release, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this morning, that's really, I mean, this is in the context of community groups. I just have some things that I learned here in the last couple months that I wanted to share. But the guiding scripture for this morning is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Many of you know that one well already. It's the Great Commission. So I just want to read that out here for us this morning. Of course, these are Jesus' last words right before He ascends to heaven. He commissions the disciples. And so, again, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And I think, like, okay, that you, in order to understand this part of it, you need to understand, I love missions and I love evangelism. But what happens, and I find, when we go to the Great Commission, most of us read, "Go ye therefore to all the nations," like, sign a brother up, right? Like, I'm going to go to all the nations, I'm going to see the world, I'm going to travel the world. And then for evangelism, especially in the Western world, we're all about lead somebody to a sinner's prayer, right? And then maybe lead them on the street corner where we found them. And again, there is a place for evangelism. There's a place for missions. But in that context, what I want to pull out this morning is, for me, even when I read the Great Commission, I don't always pause at make disciples. Making disciples takes time and effort, mm-hmm. right? That takes commitment. I totally believe in going and meeting the person where they're at. I totally believe in praying for them, right? Lead them to the Lord, share the gospel. But then for them to actually walk that out and become a sustained lifestyle, they're going to need to be plugged into a community. They're going to need to have people to walk with them through that, right? You can be delivered from drugs on the spot, but if you're not pulled out of your friends group, if you're not pulled out of the life that you know, Eddie can even share with me in this. I mean, I just so been inspired by Eddie's life, but he's talking about right now this season, right? It's like sometimes he is almost afraid to embrace the goodness because he's afraid of losing it again. And I don't mean to do that just to call you out, but I'm just like, it's real. Like, if you're not used to living the goodness, you're like, you don't want to get used to that. You may not even want to get used to the blessings of the Lord, because it's like, oh, what if it's taken away in a later time? So when talking about like this evangelism is, yes, it's great to lead them to the Lord, but then at some point they need to be taken out of their current context in a safe environment where we can actually grow and just have that faithful journey of discovering who the Lord is. So again, to me, the excitement is going to the nations. It's the radical encounters. But it's the discipleship that takes the commitment and the discipline and the focus. And then the reality to me is, like, I have a heart for the nations. I don't expect to be in Lancaster all my life. I know it's for a very extended season. But if I'm not learning how to develop relationships in this season, like, to me, I look at going to Central Asia or the Middle East. You have the Muslim world, right? I think many of us in this room have a heart for the Muslim world. I mean, maybe plant a community in the Middle East. However, if we get there and we're not willing to build relationships, or we don't know how to build relationships in community, we're not going to have an open door. You roll into Turkey, you got 99% Muslim, and they always have a hatred for Christians, right? I talked to a missionary during my DTS. They had been there for 10 years, and they saw one person come to the Lord. 10 years of plowing ground, of doing life in Turkey, and intentionally going out and trying to plant a Christian community and sharing the gospel, and one person came to the Lord. So to me, it's building relationships. So even bringing people to the Lord in this discipleship piece, if we learn how to build relationships here, when we're planning out in the nations, we're ready to develop relationships as well. And then really what I'm even hearing from these wins from the community group leaders is really that the Lord is moving, right? That's where we're meant to get our fulfillment. So we have these, as a person, we are created. We have a little spot in our heart in here that would not be fulfilled without the Father. Right? We were made for creation. We're made for relationship with Him. We're made for relationship with others. But what tends to happen is when we discover that we are a child of God and that's where we get our fulfillment, is we are now fulfilled. And if before that, and even through that, we're trying to walk through discipleship, we're still walking away from maybe what once fulfilled us. Like, we can talk about a ton of things that we try and fill that spot with. Sexual immorality, alcohol, drugs, right? All these different things that we turn to for comfort instead of what we were created for with the Father. And then what begins to happen is when you find that, maybe we're still walking away of that old sin lifestyle, but we need to do it with people. We need to be surrounded by people that believe in us and call us up. Because we may have been living in brokenness for 10 years, but then once that fulfillment happens, it's great, but we need to learn how to actually walk it out. And when I think about what you guys are sharing about your wins, it's literally the presence of the Lord coming down, and that's how we don't burn out. As a leader, we're never the solution, right? It's the Lord that's the solution. So when you look at relationships, we're made for vertical relationship, we're made for horizontal relationship, right? With God and with people. But what begins to happen is when we are fulfilled by God, when that little hole in our heart, that area of our heart that can only be fulfilled by the Father's love, and our identity is in that. Even work ethic, right? Lancaster County, great work ethic. But we can start to put our identity into our work instead of the Father. So once we have our identity, that becomes very attractive by the people that are in our horizontal relationships. This is actually what they're desiring. We're desiring our heart to be connected and fulfilled by the Father. So if we're walking in that and we're walking in a world of brokenness, they become instantly, they start coming in because they see what we have and they want what we have. And this is, to me, this is where we cook. This is the frying pan. If at that point we had a one-time connection with the Father, and we're trying to live out of that, and people are on the outside coming in and seeing that attractiveness. And even as a community, guys, this is very attractive. This is why communities, healthy communities, grow. If you're connected to the Father and you're fulfilled, you're going to attract people.
Yeah.
It's very attractive. Yeah. But here is what is critical. If this is not healthy, this is always going to fry. You're just going to literally burn up here. It's a matter of at what point. So I'm so convinced if we want to walk in discipleship, just like what Lindy was saying, is if we're in that moment and we're leading the room, we're leading a group, we're trying to discern, we're trying to walk with people through their stuff, they're actually looking to us for the solution. We just need to introduce them to the Father. Because here's the thing, I believe in giving advice, I believe in giving counsel. However, at some point we have to connect people to the Father. If you provide somebody with great advice, you're going to become codependent. They're always going to come to you. You're now the solution, right? So at some point we have to understand that they have to start hearing from the Lord.
That's when they call you in the middle of the night and say, I got a problem.
That's exactly right. And you're supposed to be available 24/7 because this little spot right here is who they think that you're, that's what they're trying to fill with you and what you carry. Exactly right. So that's why, to me, this central spot can be a beautiful thing, because we have the honor and the privilege of being connected to the Father and through that connecting to people out of that place. But if we're trying to love from our own strength, I know that for a fact. You guys know me to a certain degree. Yes, I love people, I love community, but I am a bit of an introvert. So I have to know, man. I have to know my limits. Like, at some point, just like Jesus, he left his disciples, he went to the mountain to pray. Like, at some point, even me, I do literally go to the mountains, but I also, I have to find my space sometimes and get reconnected to the Father. The craziness of life can go for a certain degree, but if I don't pull back and for self-preservation and say, I'm in it for the long haul, I'm not in it for the short. So for the long haul health, I've got to pull back, I have to reconnect to the Father. So again, even in the Great Commission, right? Going, changing the world, all about it. But making disciples, guys, is going to take some commitment. And there's just such an importance, of not being overwhelmed. I look at Jesus, and I was just reading through the Bible again this morning, different illustrations of when Jesus encountered people. And for one of the illustrations, I just want to go to John 5. It's actually there at the Pool of Bethesda. It's just a remarkable story that, so many people have wondered about for so many years, and it's just remarkable. John 5 just says, afterward Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years, guys, he's lying there. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? And what was happening is there was these crowds of people at these five porches, and then another one of the gospels says that an angel of the Lord would come and stir the water, and the first person in the water would get healed. So this guy's there for 38 years trying to be the first person in the water, and it's not happening. And Jesus comes along, and the man just says, I can't, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. Like, number one, Jewish law. Like, are you kidding me? Right? Religion 101. Like, you just saw radical healing. And rather than trying to learn what Jesus is teaching in that moment, you pick out the negative. You pick out, and they were stuck in their religious mindset. But to me, we read them where Jesus walked on. I'm like, are you kidding me? There's five porches full of people laying there trying to get healed. He heals one and he's gone. So many scholars even are like, what's Jesus doing here? And even for me this morning, to me it was just a testament of we are not made, number one, we aren't made to impact. We can't walk with everybody. To me it was like Jesus knew the people that he was supposed to impact on his journey for the greatest impact. So that was the person the Father said in that moment, this is the one. He just walks in obedient alignment. He heals him and he goes on about his Father's business in the next, whatever next thing was. And as I read through multiple things this morning, I'm like, what is going on here? Like, why did Jesus heal some and not the others? Or why did he? And when I really looked at it is, you look at the woman at the well, right? She had seven husbands, that whole story. Right? Seven?
Five
husbands? At the well, and you look at raising like Lazarus from the dead, and the paralyzed man that came, that his friends brought him in to be healed, and you look at all these radical stories. It's to me is like most of the ones that Jesus encountered, the man on the hillside that was in chains, he was so full of demons they chained the man, right? They chained him so he couldn't be in town among civilization, and Jesus comes in and radically delivers him from his demons. So when I look at the people that Jesus was encountering, it was the most broken of the broken, right? But to me, it was the greatest opportunity for restoration. I don't know that you would see that through all the Gospels, but to me, that was the pattern I'm seeing. I'm like, you know what? The Lord, the Father walked with him, and when they had the greatest level of brokenness, the greatest opportunity for restoration, he would come in and deliver them. Because you know how it is, when you have a pendulum swing, you're like completely broken. If he sets you free, you're probably going to be the most grateful. And then they're out there just like sharing what the Lord actually did for them. And there's no denial at that point, right? There was no denial that Jesus actually delivered him. So there's two pieces there. One would be that I just want to pull out. One is, as leaders, yes, we want to care for everybody. We want to walk with everybody. But in discipleship, it's just not reality. We're one person. There's 7 billion people in the world. So it just, to me, becomes this journey of discovering who does the Father actually want us to connect with. Who are the right people, right? Who are the ones?
Yeah.
Who are the ones that the Lord is identifying and highlighting? And the second piece is not, I mean, there is people, let's just be real, as leaders that are going to wear us out if we're doing it on our own strength, right? We have victim mentality. We have people that don't know the Father. They're searching. They're trying to do this horizontal piece. They're trying to get this fulfillment from us. And that is where just seeing what Jesus did is he didn't avoid those people. He just brought the Father's love in that moment and helped restore them and then went about his business. So I just want to encourage us as well not to shy away from those people. Again, the Lord needs to highlight it. We need to be healthy in order to do that. But there's just a broken world out there that is just crying out for discipleship. And then one of the things that really, in this journey of Branch Community, it's just been incredible. Like some of the regional leaders that we've had the privilege of getting connected with, like the Lord is just making some incredible connections. And a couple months ago, there's Teaching the Word Ministries up in Leola, Keith Yoder. I mean, he's been walking with pastors, leadership teams, We're talking like if the church has issues, he'll come in there and help walk their leadership team through it. He's been ministering for like over 30 years. So through a friend of mine, actually my mentor, got me connected to him, and I had the privilege of meeting with him for about an hour. So what I want to share as well for leadership development, and I even feel as disciples, like realistically, we're developing leaders. When I talk about discipleship, I'm thinking that we're developing leaders here, especially at this level. If as our community grows, this current leadership team here is not going to be enough, right? We're going to need more people. So we have to learn how to multiply what we're doing in these group settings. And we talked about that multiplying groups, right? There's people in our groups that are going to be ready to lead a group. And we need to walk with them through that because one, it's similar to us. We can't connect with everybody. It's the same way with one group or five groups aren't going to take care of all this growth. It's not going to take care of all the people that are hungry. So just discovering how to multiply that. So my meeting with Keith was great, but there was this one moment, like the Lord often does, there's this one moment he was like, that's actually why I connected you with Keith. And it was this connections model. It's actually called connection, connection with an X instead of CT. But really what that is, it's just a leadership model of how Jesus actually taught his disciples. There was four parts to what Jesus was doing. One was spiritual. The first one, he was connecting them to the Father, right? And he was God. He was God incarnate, right? However, he was connecting them to the Father. And you look at where he did spend his time at the mountain going out to pray. It was through that connection with the Father. So again, if we want to grow and stay healthy and multiply and disciple, number one, we need to introduce the people to the Father. In a context of prayer, obviously, if we are non-believers, we're praying for them, right? And then you have the natural progression. Maybe you get to pray with them. And then eventually you're praying together. And then when they're healthy and they have a deeper relationship, maybe they're praying for us now. But it's this whole deal of connecting them to the Father through prayer. There's this dialogue that needs to happen. In every relationship to be healthy, there has to be communication. So introducing them to the Father. And that's what we see what Jesus was doing throughout his years of mentoring 12 people, right? He had his 12 disciples. And what he was doing was introducing them to the Father first. So that's like the spiritual dynamic. And then he was going relationship with them, right? He was actually breaking bread with them. He was walking with them. He was showing them what he was doing. So he had introduced them to the Father and the spiritual dynamic. And then he had the relational dynamic. And they were doing community together. And we see that the early church then, Jesus went back to heaven. We see that's where the Acts church, like it was all in relationship, right? They were going, you want to talk about community, man? That's hardcore community. Like totally sold out community. It's that relational dynamic, and again, if one of these pieces is missing, you're going to feel it, because this is what we're made for. This is how you did leadership development. And then there was the experiential. So he sent them out, and we go for that one. I just want to go to Luke as well. Luke, where he sent the 72 out, which is Luke 17-20. Are you guys still good?
Oh, yeah.
It's Sunday morning here, and I know we're all
so good.
We're a little on the tired side, but just bear with me. There's purpose to this stuff.
It's true.
Again, Luke 10, 17 to 20 is what I wanted to pull out. So basically what he did is he sent these 72 out, right? He said, don't take anything with you. And then basically what he was teaching them was they're going to be provided. They went to these towns and when they saw radical miracles, right? I mean, they saw demons cast out. They were seeing the power of God on earth. They were walking in the kingdom at that point. But what I really want to pull out is they saw radical miracles, such as what we're talking about, wanting radical encounters, going to the nations and radical encounters is, I'm going to bring us back to this place of Luke 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And here's what Jesus says. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all of the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes, scorpions, and crush them. Nothing will injure you. And here's the big one. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Right? They were seeing some radical stuff. But that is not what he wanted to celebrate. What he wanted to celebrate is he had already introduced them to the Father. the ready relationship with Him. So He sent them out to experience Him, right? And what I see, especially like in Lancaster County, right? We have a conservative culture, a lot of us. We grew up, we knew a lot about God, but we didn't know God. We didn't know the Father. But then what begins to happen, we experience God. So now you have the pendulum swing of knowing about God, but not actually knowing Him. Well, now we have our first radical encounter, absolutely necessary. At some point, we need an encounter with the living God. But the danger is we begin to pursue the experience, right? We go from not even knowing Him to now we just want to experience Him. We're not pursuing Him because we love Him. We're not thankful because our names are registered in heaven, but we're just looking for the next experience. However, it is a part of that. He sent the 72 out. They experienced radical things. So you have the spiritual, you have the relational, and then you have the experiential. And then this is the one that we'll also see a lot of, and what many of us are all expecting to see, is instructional. At that point, once He had introduced them to the Father, once He had relationship with them, once they experienced Him, that's when He began to really instruct them. 25%, guys, of leadership development and discipleship is instructional. And that's what we were all, that's really what we're still expecting, right? We're coming to church, we're expecting to be instructed. We're showing up at the leadership retreat, we're expecting, like, just tell me how to do it, right? I can't help it, Eddie, I just love your life, man. But the stories you got are incredible. I was sitting here in the back, listening to the story of Haiti, and what stood out to me is like Jason's approach, right? Eddie's like, dude, just tell me what to do. All Eddie wanted was another checklist, man. Just give me 10 items I can do. I'll be good. We'll have a great trip. We can go home and say, man, that was an awesome trip. Jason's like, I'm not touching that, man. Right? That's to me as an experienced leader. He's like, this guy's got to experience it. I'm building a relationship with them. I'm going to introduce him to the Father. I'm not just going to tell him what to do. So it's like that dynamic of the challenge is your bunny trails, right? Like, when do you instruct them? And when do you let them just kind of like point them to the source? Because every time that we point them to the source, we're communicating we're not the source. Yeah. You know, and we're not. We're not the source, guys. He is the source. And that is the source that never runs dry. He has unlimited resources. There's not a lack in the kingdom, and there never will be. But I'm telling you, we're going to go spiritually bankrupt if we teach people that we're the source. We'll be bankrupt tomorrow, personally. But that's what people are expecting. Just tell me how to do it. Yeah. I've been broken. I've been lost. And what you have is attractive. I want it. Just tell me how to get it. I want the 3-step program. And then tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll do the 3 steps again. Tuesday morning, 3 steps. Let's go do it. But that's where the instructional works well if it's in synergy with the others. Just like we were talking about yesterday, there's this synergy in the kingdom. So it's just remarkable to me that we look at Jesus is yes, He did have His moments where He had to pull back and connect with the Father, right? First, He was connecting to the source of life. But then when He went to put that out to His horizontal relationships, He was connecting them to the source. He was showing them how He's living, and He was welcoming them into His life. He was sending them out to experience it, and then He was instructing them. So for me, when I was in Eric Keith Yoder's office, the Lord was just like, dude, this is the missing link you've been looking for. Like, you've been talking about discipleship, you've been trying to develop leaders and all of this, but I didn't have language for it, right? I knew that we're not the solution, but to me, that was just the way that the Lord went about giving the language. And again, I just think it's so relevant for our region because we know about God. Like, we heard instruction. We heard so much instruction. And whether or not in theology, guys, we're probably not going to win very many battles in Lancaster County with theology. Right? You want to look at the theology spectrum in Lancaster County? I mean, it is all the way from predestination to dude is charismatic to the point where I don't even need scripture to guide me anymore. Right? There's got to be a thread of truth. There's got to be that common ground in the middle. So I'm so convinced we're not going to win the battle in the heavenlies. We're not going to introduce people to the Father. We're not going to see restoration. We're not going to see people walking out their giftings, walking out the expression of who God created them to be on earth in His kingdom by winning theology battles. We're not going to win those heavenly battles with theology. We need to introduce them to the Father. Is it prayer? Walking with them? The relational piece, right? I mean, we all know what community. We keep talking about community. That to me is a relational piece. There is experiential piece. And maybe we, you know, just like, again, these trips we're talking about, we do it together. We go out and experience it together. And that's where growth begins to happen. And then At that point, you now have that established. Now maybe our hearts and our ears are actually open to say, can you help me explain what the spiritual peace was, right? Can you help me explain how to connect to the Father? Can you help me explain why you love like crazy? Right? Like, this is not normal, guys. The world does not love sacrificially. Can you help me explain why that is? And then there's the experiential piece. Like, what did I just experience? Like, I just had this radical encounter with God yesterday. I am free. I know now that I'm free of my past, right? Can you help me explain that? Now the door is open for the instructional piece. And obviously, that's why I think even the group settings, when we look at how they're structured a bit, and again, we're not limiting to how groups function. That's why that the timeline in the evening is structured a bit that way, is we have that hosting the presence up front, right? You're worshiping, you're praying, you're hosting the presence. We're connecting people, we're connecting ourselves to the source. We're reminding ourselves that we are not enough. We don't have the answers, right? And then we're getting in the Word together, and that's opening up vulnerable relationships and conversations. So now we have the relational and the experiential piece. We begin to see God move in our life. And we're digging into the Word, so that's the instructional piece. So I do believe we have this in the group dynamic, but that's also why I think, you know, we could bring a speaker in for every group, right? We could share an hour, the whole group night could be based around another message, right? Somebody in the group could bring a message every time. But I'm so convinced that we already know about God. We don't know everything. We want to continue going to the Word. Hear my heart in that, right? We got to keep going back to the Word.
Yeah.
But what those group nights do is it allows us to introduce people to the source. It allows us to do relationship. It allows us to experience God together.
Come on.
And then it allows the instruction piece to occur as well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to have conversations moving forward. But we'll have group nights where we can talk about, you know, where do we want to improve in groups? And then multiplication piece begins, right? Because again, we look at these five groups that are starting. You guys are running with 10 to 14 people to get started. Like that was going to be our initial cap. That's where we're going to start multiplying groups. We're starting where we're going to start multiplying.
Yeah.
That's how hungry people are for community.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Like, I still, it is remarkable, guys. And you guys know this. I mean, but go down Lancaster. I mean, I meet people and there's that look in their eye and they're like, they are hungry for something that they don't have. And when they find that, instant. It's just like instant recognition. They are beginning to find something that we're created for. Because this is what we're created for. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. And there's a desperate, the generation I grew up in, we weren't as hungry as this generation now, 2022 and under. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can go down to Lancaster now and start talking to these young people and they are hungry for your relationship. They've got all the communication at our fingertips, right? The most connected generation that ever existed. We can communicate with somebody in the other part of the world in 5 seconds. But again, I think there's more people that have that extreme loneliness, extreme hunger in their heart for connection because they're not actually known.
Mm-hmm.
They're not known by the Father, and they're not known by people. Or they're known by people and not known by the Father, and then we can get seasons of isolation where I just need to pull back for 3 months because I am burned out and have a relationship only with the Father. That leads to that downward spiral as well because we're made for relationship with people. Mm-hmm. We're still tracking.
Yes.
Yes,
so good.
Yes.
Gotta stay.
So good.
Here's
the thing. Everyone has a choice. It's the other part. We have so many people, man. I've got people in my life that I care about. I'm so desperate, man. So desperate to see them connected. We can't make a choice for them.
Yeah.
Right? And if I go try and instruct them, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen, guys. You know? So my belief is we still can't make a choice. We can't get stuck on the people that are not choosing to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, right? We can continue to pray for them, and at some point they're going to be ready to pray together. So that is that piece. We want to continue to introduce them to the source, but we can't instruct them to the source. We can't come up with a golden amount of words that are going to tell them how to do it, because they've got to find the source. And then there's the piece where, again, we can get burned out because we're like, now we're also connected to so many people that want to grow that we're like, I don't have capacity personally for this. And maybe we're not responsible for that person. I do believe that it takes commitment and that we need to be aware that there is a certain amount of people. I don't care what our anointing, our natural anointing is, and we're flowing in the Lord what it is. I do know that He wants each of us to invest in at least one person. Some of us have capacity for 20, some have capacity for 1. But the fact that we are gifted in a certain way doesn't mean that we just get to walk away from discipleship entirely. It is so in the heart of Jesus, man. So in the heart of Jesus to walk with people. So with that is, again, I just want to encourage us to be aware of who are the ones. It's not all of Lancaster County for us. It's not our whole community even. It's not even this whole room for all of us, right? But who are the ones the Lord is identifying? Who are the ones that we will intentionally invest in? Who are the ones that we will invite into our inner circle and do the relational piece with? But then understanding it, everybody has a choice. And even, I just still think it's remarkable when I look, I feel that Jesus' betrayer came from his inner circle. Simply, if nothing else, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of very valid reasons. Stephen would probably be one to pull out more of them. But for me, it's just remarkable that Jesus' betrayer came from his inner circle. To me, what it teaches us, or it teaches me, is that I can't shut down if somebody I've journeyed with begins to make wrong choices. Right? Sometimes we're like, what did I do wrong? Well, I mean, Jesus did things pretty well. Right? His betrayer came from his inner circle. So I want to encourage us that if we're journeying with somebody, or at some point we're going to be journeying with somebody, they're going to start making wrong choices. And yes, it does provide a time of self-reflection and asking the Father, you know, was I out of line here somewhere? Did I do something? But you can't take that upon yourself. Everyone still has a choice, right? So just looking at that, I'm like, I look at Judas and I'm like, are you kidding me? From Jesus' inner circle, he's the betrayer. But I honestly think some of that too is just that fear, right? That fear of surrender comes in for some people. Like we all hit that point. We all hit it at some point. We all hit it at some point. You hit that point where the Lord's like, okay, yes, I redeemed you. It didn't cost you anything. It is absolutely free. But if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you everything. That moment of surrender. And that is honestly to me what I see so often is people, we will grow to a certain point and we hit that moment or that season where the Lord begins to ask for things. He's like, you said you want this, and I gave it to you for free, but if you want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, it's going to cost you something. And at that point, and again, small decisions, but we're going to probably have 1,000 points along the way where we can choose to surrender and say that you are enough. I truly believe that you are enough and you're going to fulfill me and sustain me, no matter where I go in my life. Or we can say, you know what, I want some external things in there. Kind of cool, a lot easier. I'll keep finding external things. But in those choices, we're saying, all right, I'm willing to pay the cost. And the reality is not everybody is. And that's not to condemn people. It's just that at some point, I think each of us, I honestly think if we're doing real community and we're actually journeying with people from brokenness, I honestly believe that every one of us here at some point will be journeying with somebody that continues or starts making wrong choices. And if not, I would just say, are we actually connecting with the right people? Because if we have connection with the Father, he's going to connect us with people that don't have that connection. So again, I just want to come back to that evangelism piece. Because again, I totally believe in evangelism. But this is an illustration that this connections model uses. And I just want to read through this to help us understand even what it talks about and how these four things can be used. And throughout things in kingdom work. So it just says here, to illustrate this, consider the following example. Suppose we want to build evangelists, right? We want to disciple evangelists, in other words. We could begin with an experiential component by simply sending them out to share the gospel with unbelievers. Just go and do it. Will that work? Will they learn anything about evangelism? Certainly they will. Now let's include a relational dimension by sending them out with experienced evangelists who they can watch and who will watch them and encourage and correct them. Clearly this will work even better, right? Doing it together now. Now let's add a strong spiritual element by having our emerging evangelists join with intercessors before going out. They will pray and cry for the lost, entering into God's burden for those without Christ. Then when they go out to evangelize, they are also to look to God for help, asking who to go to and waiting upon him inwardly for the right words to speak. And this will work better still. Finally, let's give them some instruction. a good interactive course on the meaning and nature of evangelism, studying God's plan of salvation, a simple way to share the gospel, and one's own testimony. Some common objections to the gospel and how to respond, etc. Now we're building strong evangelists. So again, this is not to diminish any of the gifts. It's just, or any of the anointings. It's just saying that, guys, we need all of it to work together in synergy. And that's where we're going to find sustainability, and it's where we're not going to burn out. So that's about what I have. I just want to give us a quick recap. To me, the key takeaways that I have is two things that can prevent us from discipling, right? These are the two things that make community group leaders say, I'm done, I'm over, ain't happening, is lack of commitment. Millennial generation, right? Wait, hold out might be a better opportunity around the corner, man. Lack of commitment and being overwhelmed. If it's healthy and it's good and we're fulfilled by the Father, it's very attractive. Be willing to invest long term. I'm all about connecting with people, leading them to the Lord. Again, hear my heart in this, but we have to be willing to invest long term if we're going to change the world. Look at Jesus, man. He took his 12, he invested long for 3 years, and then they planted the church. And everyone has a choice, guys. It's so crucial to remember that. We cannot choose for people. We can walk with them, we can help introduce them to the Father, but we cannot take it upon ourselves for them to choose. Big one is we're not the solution. We're not. We're never the solution. We're connected to the solution.
You're giving a snack.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody said last night, thinks he has the gift of giving. I would kind of agree with that, man. All weekend she's been running around just giving people stuff. So anyway, connect.
At a moment where she was like, she realized she ran out, she don't have any.
So good. And that's got, there you have it too. Spiritual burnout, right? You give to a certain point. Give, like, not putting that on her, but I'm saying, like, literally, guys, if all we do is give, we will run out. Guaranteed, very practical.
Yeah, right out. Out to babes from yeah. Right there.
Yep.
She ran out.
And then she's freaking out. Like, what am I going to do, right?
And we had to go back to the kitchen and get her more, so she's...
Yep. Like yep. So that's my leadership retreat, right? Come back and get a little more from the Father.
Yeah, to connect with the Father.
So true, dude. Yeah. Honestly, though, like, literally, what we're walking out of family dynamic, the Father and the child is such a representation of the Heavenly Father. He's supposed to be our provider, man. I'm so amazed by that. Anyway, let them into our life. And I'm talking about the hard people, man. It's going to get messy. Messy church, guys. Messy community. Messy relationships. Healthy boundaries. But messy relationships. But if not, we're just getting stagnant. Right? We just have this embarrassment of riches that we're not sharing. If it's not getting messy with some people. Healthy boundaries, but messy relationships. Do it together. We're made for it, man. Horizontal relationships. We've got to do it together. This is a big one for me, man. Just even what Arlen shared last night, the enduring love for Jesus, right? We have the privilege of partnering with the Father. He's the one who sits on the throne, and he is sufficient, and his supply never runs out. And relationships. It's got to be in the form of relationship. Relationship with the Father, relationship with each other. And then the four investments are really spiritual. We're investing people, right? Spiritual, connecting them to the Father. Then there's the relational piece. We're doing life with them. We're walking with them. There's the experiential. We're sending them out to experience the Father. And ideally, we're right there with them in the trenches doing it, at least the first couple of times. And then there's the instructional piece. But I just want to remind us, guys, we're not going to win the battles in the heavenlies in Lancaster on instructional. It's not going to happen. So with that, that's about what I got. I really do believe this is a significant moment for the community. Like Stephen shared Friday night, it's a Kairos moment. And as we think about leading groups, this is meant to inspire us to do discipleship. It's not meant to scare us and freak us out. But it's literally meant to understand that it is sustainable. And that if we're scared of burnout, if we're scared of running out, we don't have the proper contact. Yeah, more. Thank you. Yeah, I just truly believe this is a moment where the Lord wants to invite us into long-term commitment, and He wants to mark us, and He wants to reestablish that connection and that almost remove that fear that we're going to run out. Because there is this realization that begins to happen in a setting where we are not enough, and we're fully and keenly aware of that. Yep. what I would like to do is just pray for us, so the Lord to remove that fear and just bring proper revelation. Because just like Stephen shared as well, is if we have proper revelation, the answer is always going to be yes.
Yep.
So if we're fearful that we're not enough, we just don't have proper revelation of who the Father is. So with that, I would just love, I just put your hands out. I don't think this is a big, I think this is a moment where the Father wants to come in. He wants to replace that fear with the realization that He is the source, that He is on the throne, that He is enough, and He has everything that we need to be leaders, to be community group leaders, and to be disciplers. So Father, I thank You for Your goodness, and I thank You that You're the source. I thank You that You didn't give us a formula to Your heart. I thank You that You didn't give us the checklist, but that You literally just want to do life with us, and You want us to do life with other people. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that You equip each person in this room to connect people to Your heart, to be the connectors, to be the conduit of Your love that intrigues people to the point they wonder about this source of love, but that we would always turn them to You, and we would introduce them to You and Your goodness and Your faithfulness and Your abundance of riches. So I ask that You would mark each person here. You would mark each of us for the rest of our lives to multiply what is happening in Your kingdom. For radical love, for radical encounters, radical connections to You, and that we would receive the instructions of Your word. And that we would begin to be able to articulate what it is at the right time. But I ask for this synergy to begin to occur in each of us with You. That we will begin to do life in tandem with You. We will continue to do every moment in tandem with You. And I ask that You remove the fear of not being enough. I ask that You remove the condemnation of walking past people. I ask that You just bring us in alignment with the right ones, in the right moments, with the right words. I ask that we would not leave this weekend the same. I ask that You radically encounter our hearts with love for people. Because You're worthy. You are worthy. And You, Jesus, deserve the full inheritance that You died for. So we give You praise. We give You honor. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your mercy. And we thank You for the peace that is even here right now. Settle in our hearts, Jesus. We lay down our idols. We lay down anything that our identity is built on other than You. We say You are worthy. We go to You because You're the one. Amen. That's all I got, guys.